Now this is around 95, when Domitian is emperor, and he has recently started the arrests associated with Fiscus Judaicus that we learned about a few weeks ago. All right. So Clement received bad news about the believers in Corinth. Paul's epistles to the Corinthians now circulated widely among the churches. The epistles of 1 and 2 Corinthians made the large assembly of believers in Corinth famous among the early Christians. The Corinthian community of believers modeled virtue and godliness. Christians traveling between the East and the West routinely stopped over in Corinth for a stay among the Corinthian believers. The assembly at Corinth received all the brothers and sisters with magnificent hospitality. Those who spent time among the Corinthian believers reported their faith to be virtuous, steadfast, well-grounded in knowledge. They kept the Torah. They walked in the commandments of God and submitted to those who had authority. We're going to see all this tonight. Unlike believers in many other places throughout the diaspora, the Corinthian Christians do not seem to have suffered persecution. A profound and abundant peace was given to them. They offered prayers for their brothers and sisters throughout the world and did their best to maintain contact with other communities during the troubled years. And by troubled years, I mean these persecutions under Domitian, the persecutions under Nero that we've studied in the previous classes. Paul and the apostles appointed the original leadership of the Corinthian community. That was four decades earlier. Most of those men had since died and passed down the mantle to a second generation, men of excellent behavior for the ministry, which they fulfilled blamelessly and with honor. Then Clement received a report about a schism in the Corinthian community. New, younger leaders unseated the elders and took control of the assembly. We don't know what triggered the schism, but Clement attributed the unrest to jealousy and envy. Whatever happened in Corinth, it was serious enough to warrant some involvement from outside parties. Litigation may have been involved. The Corinthians sent a letter to Clement and the elders in Rome for their counsel in settling the matter that had led to the dispute. The dispute must have involved some theological, doctrinal, or halakhic debate. Otherwise, the Corinthians would not have appealed to the elders at Rome for help. They hoped that Clement and the elders at Rome, men with words of the apostles still ringing in their ears, could offer wisdom and counsel from an apostolic perspective to settle the unrest. The discord did not surprise Clement. He remarked, "Our apostles also knew, through our master Yeshua the Messiah, that there would be strife on account of the office of leadership." Nevertheless, he bemoaned the disgrace that the discord had brought upon the name of Messiah. It pained him to know that unbelievers had heard about the dispute, and he chastised the Corinthians for drawing attention to themselves and placing themselves in danger of scrutiny from the government. Clement wrote a long epistle to the Corinthian believers in the spirit of Paul's letters. He addressed it to the assembly of God which sojourns at Rome, to the assembly of God sojourning at Corinth. We know this as the Epistle of 1 Clement, the longest of all the apostolic era epistles and the only authentic document attributed to Clement of Rome, the earliest piece of Christian writing after the books of the canonical New Testament, and it most likely predates, get this, it's earlier than the Gospel of John, than the Epistles of John, and the Revelation of John. The letter attempted to speak on behalf of the leadership of the Roman believers. It completely ignored the theological matters that led up to the initial rupture in Corinth. Clement regarded the cause of the quarrel as irrelevant. The real problem involved human jealousy, ego, and envy. He called for the Corinthians to reestablish order, peace, and their old leadership. Since none of the elders who had been removed from office had committed any moral offenses, Clement charged the usurpers with high-handed, unjustifiable behavior. He argued persuasively from several points, urging the assembly in Corinth to repent and remove the factious party and reinstate the old leadership. All right, that's the gist of the epistle. The Epistle of 1 Clement provides us with a snapshot of how the late first century believers combined scripture and apostolic writings as authoritative and divinely inspired texts. In the course of the epistle, Clement quotes generously from the scripture and expounds on the stories in the Torah. He demonstrates adept competency with the biblical text. He typically uses Septuagint versions when quoting scripture. He sometimes cites sources that are no longer extant. He often invokes Jewish readings of the text and Midrashic traditions as if they were obvious and well known. He cites and alludes to passages from Paul's epistles, Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, and Philippians, indicating that those letters had already assumed a universal currency among the believers. In addition to Paul's letters, he quotes or alludes to passages from James and 1 Peter, and he frequently cites the sayings of the Master. Some of his material seems to come from the Synoptic Gospels, and some of it comes from independent traditions. Which is very interesting because the Synoptic Gospels aren't even the Gospels are he has the epistles in hand, but he doesn't have the Gospels necessarily in hand yet. He has like early versions of the Gospels. He doesn't have the Gospels as we have them. That's what I'm saying. First Clement has such strong affinities with the Epistle to Hebrews that some believe Clement authored or co-authored that epistle as well. The Epistle of 1 Clement nearly achieved canonical status itself. It appears in some canonical lists and was read publicly in churches along with the apostolic writings for several centuries. Even in the 4th century, Eusebius said, "We know that this epistle also has been publicly used in a great many churches, both in former times and in our own." Clement placed the letter in the hand of three messengers from the Roman community, Claudius Ephibus, Valerius Beto, and Fortunatus. Fortunatus was from the original generation of believers in Corinth who knew the Apostle Paul. Clement instructed the Corinthians to send the men back to him quickly with good news about the restoration of peace and harmony in Corinth. All right, so that's our introduction to 1 Clement. Now we can start reading 1 Clement. What do you think? Mm-hmm. Any questions? All right.
Was it in Greek?
Yes.
So the copy is Greek.
Greek. Yep. Mm-hmm. Good Greek.
Actually.
Yeah. All right.